Hi, podcast listeners. Today's episode is about one of my favorite topics, that is consciousness. It's a little abstract, maybe a little philosophical, but I think about the word consciousness as really another word for awakeness, for aliveness. So I hope that my reflections on consciousness are helpful to you. I'm really thinking about how to help entrepreneurs and high performers, the folks I work with, be more attuned to their own consciousness, be better able to read their internal cues and read the cues of the environment around them so that they are able to act and produce and create in ways that are highly unique and not necessarily following the scripts of the world around them. So hopefully this topic is interesting to you. I will make a small note here that one of my consciousness expanding practices is my circus practice, is the physical discipline of being part of something that is both creative and, to be honest, a little bit dangerous. And it really makes me be awake, focused. So I know the circus is not for everybody, but if you are in the Midwest or you don't mind getting on an airplane, I am producing a circus on May 4th that I think is going to be quite beautiful and extraordinary. It is called Integration, and it is about the relationships between the mind, the body, and the soul, and is pretty in line with this topic of consciousness. So more about that at touchingtwoworlds.com if you'd like to participate, or if you just want a video of the show afterward, drop me a note and I'll make sure it gets to you. Mm-hmm. Thanks so much for listening.
Welcome to the Zen Founder Podcast. This is a place where we have conversations about mental health and entrepreneurship. We have a pretty broad conceptualization of what mental health means, sometimes depression, anxiety, sometimes relationships or physical health. The goal here is to bring some calm into the crazy roller coaster of ups and downs that is life for many entrepreneurs. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Sherry Walling. I'm a clinical psychologist and an entrepreneur, married to an entrepreneur, live in the world of entrepreneurs, and I'm so pleased that you have joined us for this conversation.
Hello, my name is Dr. Sherry Walling, and I am a clinical psychologist who specializes in the well-being and thriving of entrepreneurs and other kinds of high performers. One of the things that I want to talk about today is the word consciousness. This is a word that gets thrown around a lot, at least in some of the circles that I'm in. There seems to be this curiosity about the expansion of consciousness or tapping into consciousness or growing consciousness, greater consciousness. And so I think it's helpful to unpack what that word means and what it is we are longing for when we are wanting to be more conscious. I think I hear this word a lot because I am pretty deeply involved in the world of psychedelic medicine. And this is a sort of sector of the mental health and well-being community that is really interested in how psychedelic medicines can help heal and help improve overall well-being and thriving. And one of the terms that we talk about when we talk about psychedelics is their potential to expand consciousness. Sounds really great, but again, what are we talking about? This conversation isn't limited to psychedelics by any stretch of the imagination. Other practices like meditation, silence retreats, even some practices of yoga are about expanding consciousness. They're about making bigger our capacity to be awake. And that really is the definition of consciousness. Like, the difference between being conscious and unconscious is being awake, being aware of your surroundings, being aware of your inner processes, and being able to really attend to and be present to what is happening within and around you. In many ways, that sounds very simple, right? You're just not asleep. You're just awake. Aren't we all conscious? But I think what is becoming clearer is that there are many layers of consciousness. There are many layers of awakeness, many layers of presence. And there is the very basic not asleep, but then there are all of these other layers of being able to sense or to take in or to see things that are happening in the environment around you. For example, intuition, the ability to know without knowing, to hear without hearing, to just have a way of being certain of something that is maybe separate from the data that you can clearly, easily see in your environment. Intuition is a deep level of consciousness. It's a knowing that is based on information that may not be happening in the 3D. Like, you might not be actually seeing, hearing, tasting, sensing, but you are taking in some kind of information that's happening. Maybe it's just a subtle shift that's happening in your environment that helps you to know or to sense or to anticipate something happening. We call that intuition. We can also talk about the ability to read the room, to correctly assess the dynamics of the people around you, the situation that you're in, the ability to predict things happening, our anticipation of what another individual will do, what a company will do, what a market will do. These are actually all consciousness processes, because we are taking in information from our environment, things around us, fragments of news, hints dropped in a conversation, and we're putting them together based on our ability to be present to and attend to them. The more nuanced the information, the deeper the level of consciousness that is required to be able to process it. So one aspect of consciousness is our awareness of what's around us. It's our environment. Both micro environments, like the humans we live with, the home that we're in, the neighborhood we're in, but moving out into other layers of more macro environments or the bigger environments, again, markets, governments, elections, our ability to sort of see and predict what may be unfolding in a bigger scale. Consciousness, though, also is increasingly used for our own awareness and awakeness of what's happening inside of us. Our ability to really intuit the messages of our own body, to really listen closely to our body, to our thoughts, to our emotions, and be awake to them, not repress or suppress or deny them, and not over-exaggerate them, but to be able to take in that data, the information, the wisdom that they offer to us. In my line of work, I do a lot of work with consciousness turned inward. Our awakeness to what is inside, to the multiplicity and complexity of our human unit, being able to really hear, see, sense, taste, and then based on that inner data, make decisions for our lives. I think sometimes this conversation about consciousness can sound both very abstract and a bit woo. So I appreciate if you're tuning out a little bit. But I think the importance of this conversation maybe lies not so much in what we're doing, but what is happening around us. I think that we are experiencing really an unprecedented amount of pressure to be numb, to be not awake, to be passive recipients of information, to be passive sort of non-player characters in our own lives, where we go through the motions of doing the things. We wake up, feed the dog, make our breakfast, go to work, do the things, push the paper, write the code. We come home, feed the dog, feed ourselves, feed our children, watch TV, go to bed, repeat. And in much of human existence, there's pressure to comply, to obey, to not ask questions. And when we do ask questions, the systems that we're asking questions of feel so overwhelmingly complex, incompetent, deluded, that I think most of us just sort of give up. When there are things that we're unhappy about, I don't know, maybe the curriculum in your child's school, the process of figuring out how what's taught is chosen and who's making those decisions and who's paying for it and who's protecting it. It can feel like you're going down a rabbit hole of conspiracy theories. And I think most of us kind of give up and decide that awakeness is too expensive and too painful and too troubling. And we're afraid of what we see if we open our eyes and really like look at the power structures around us. It's very troubling. I think the same thing can happen internally. If we really open our eyes and listen to what our body is saying, we might be quite troubled by the way that we're feeding ourselves, the way that we're treating ourselves, the way that we're talking to ourselves, the consent that we give or don't give around important parts of our well-being, like who we love and what our sexual practices look like. We are often following some kind of script, a script that's handed to us from generations before us, often for our well-being and protection, but often for our submission and for our lack of creativity or lack of drive to ask questions or to push. So consciousness, waking up our consciousness, is expanding our ability to be awake to all of these different dimensions. And it comes with then the knowledge that is a burden of what to do about it. How much do we push against the structures and the scripts that are handed to us? How much do we acquiesce and say, okay, this isn't my battle? Because God knows not everything can be our battle, especially once you start really looking around. There's so many battles to fight. So it requires this level of then discernment. It's sort of like Adam and Eve and the tree with the knowledge of good and evil. Like once you take the fruit, you are responsible. You see your nakedness, you see your vulnerability, you see the forces at play that are influencing you to see or not see, to ask questions or not ask questions, to stay safe or to push back. And that's a pretty high responsibility, tricky place to be. But I think a lot of entrepreneurs and high performers, a lot of the people that I'm working with are there. They are already speaking things into existence that weren't in existence before. They are already seeing the field in a way that other people don't see. They are already tuned into their own capacity for discernment. And so the practice of becoming even more awake or expanding consciousness is just deepening what is already inside of them to do, what they're already driven to, what they're already longing for. And that's where psychedelics are a wonderful tool, but they also come with a huge, like, warning label that says once you're awake, you can't unknow. The path of numbness is no longer really available to you. And it's going to become very difficult for you to tune back out once you've tuned in to your own awakeness. And that can be a heavy burden. It can be a bit unraveling and destabilizing for people, which is why for people who are interested in expanded consciousness, I'm always like, proceed with caution. Get a community. You need a guide. You need a therapist. You need someone who can help you dive into and then make sense of the awakeness that you're suddenly holding. There's tremendous gifts in being awake, in being able to be extraordinarily present to your life, in being able to capitalize on the meaning of every moment in your life, on being able to love deeply your children, your partner, your friends, on living in a deep awareness of and appreciation for the planet that sustains us, on the ability to see opportunity and the ability to see your way into that opportunity. All of these things are consciousness practices, but all of them also carry a great deal of pain. When you are deeply connected to your environmental surroundings, you also see their degradation, their injury, the ways in which our planet has not been respected, has not been treated well. And once you are really awake to the depth of your capacity to love, you also see your depth of capacity to lose and your vulnerability to heartbreak, and the inevitability of loss becomes a deep part of your life once you are awake to it. Numbness is a great way to avoid pain. It's also a great way to avoid joy, which is why it's not the path that I've taken personally. So if you are interested in expanding your ability to be awake, to growing your own consciousness, start simply by practicing presence, by mindfulness techniques, the ability to really put something in your mouth and really taste it, really, really see, feel, enjoy, take in the flavors of your food. Practice presence when you walk. Walk your dog in the morning. Notice the crunch of leaves under your feet. Notice how your dog's breath looks as he or she breathes in the cold air in the morning. Notice the sound of the birds. Notice the trees around you. Notice the shadows that the sun is making as it rises. Really see your environment. Take in your surroundings. Attune your brain to noticing. That is the beginning of expanded consciousness, of awakeness. The same kinds of practices can apply to our relationship with our body. When you begin your day, start from your head and scan all the way down. Notice what muscles are tight, what is itchy. Notice where you have tension, or notice where you feel strong. Notice where there's energy. Get really intimate in your relationship with your own systems. That's part of being conscious internally, conscious of yourself, the ability to read, to feel. Once you practice that presence and attunement, you can begin to learn how to use it. So for example, when you begin to notice a tightness in your chest, you notice this physiological signal and you practice interpreting it. Maybe it means that you don't really trust the person you're talking to. Maybe it means that you are anticipating a conflictual situation. Maybe it means that you have a read that there's some kind of threat or danger in your environment. But if you can catch it early when it's just a tiny twinge in your chest, you then have the anticipatory power to be able to act before the threat emerges, to be able to intervene before the conflict blows up, to be able to read your own discomfort and intervene accordingly. If you can do that before you're in the explosion, you have a lot of power. You have a lot of power in your relationships. You have a lot of power in your business. You have a lot of power in your environment. So this was a bit of a broad rant on what consciousness is and how you might begin to think about expanding it and using it. Happy to talk to you more if this is something that you would like to do a deep dive on. It is something that I'm obviously very curious about and very passionate about. And my interest in consciousness is really born out of grief, like significant connection to and exposure to death, very up close, really kind of catapulted me into a curiosity about awakeness, aliveness. So that becomes the through line in much of the work that I do, is how to be maximally alive, how to be maximally awake in the very, very limited time that we have here in this iteration on the planet. So if these are topics that are of interest to you, you may enjoy my book, Touching Two Worlds, which is about how to come back to life after death, how to come back to life after grief, other people's death, not your death. That's a different book. You can also follow me on Instagram, Facebook, a lot of different spaces on the internet where I'm talking about aliveness or demonstrating aliveness.
Thanks for listening. We'll be back in 2 weeks with a new episode of the podcast. In the meantime, feel free to check out zenfounder.com for lots of resources about the kinds of conversations that we have on the podcast. You can get information about working with me, about maybe joining a Zen tribe. It's sort of like a mental health boot camp for entrepreneurs. We also have lots of content on our blog, links to resources in our courses and books for sale. So check us out there, and we hope to provide anything and everything that you might need to make the entrepreneurial life a little bit easier.